accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Baffangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, of course, it's absolutely sensational to have a return engagement from Ronica Schaefer, but we have pressing news here nationally about which I want Monty to get a comment. The victory by Glenn Youngkin in Virginia was a fabulous upset of a deep state propagandist and operator, Terry McAuliffe. He was even instrumental in orchestrating the Charlottesville fiasco of 2017, when he previously held the governor's chair. He committed blunder after blunder, including during a debate with Youngkin, declaring that parents had no right to say to the school board what their children ought to be taught, denying that critical race theory was being taught, suppressing about the rape of a girl in a Loudoun girls' room by a young boy wearing a skirt who, according to his mother, was just horny, that he wasn't actually a transgender, that he identifies as male. It goes on and on and on. And then we have in New Jersey, where this miscreant Murphy is in a bare knuckles down to the edge and appears to be stealing by a friend of mine just called me to say they found 6,000 additional votes for Murphy. Classic old-style Democratic voter theft. Even in Minneapolis, even in Minnesota, the reform the police, the defund the police movement crashed and burned. The people of Minnesota have spoken. They want to retain their police department in Minneapolis. Monica, this is all so sensational. Please share with us all of your thoughts about all of the above.
Wow. The insanity knows no bounds these days, and it just is being driven so far into the ground, I would say, that I don't know how anybody cannot see that there is something really, really, really wrong, and that the people who call themselves, you know, the government are not our friend. They are not our friend. To me, the biggest puzzle, and I think about this a lot, believe me, is how people still cannot see. And I have people in my own family who are in that category. They grew up in the same family. They're not dummies. How is it that their minds have been so blocked off and so programmed? That really is the word, programmed, that they cannot see what is going on. This critical race theory stuff. Basically, you know, the other day I saw something about a six-year-old coming home from grade one class and crying and saying, "Mommy, was I born evil because I'm white?" This is what they're teaching those children. They're born evil. They have no chance at anything in life if that's the mentality that they're being programmed with and indoctrinated with. So yeah, this is, you just gave a great intro there, and I don't know much more about that situation other than exactly what you just talked about, but it sure relates to stuff that's going on in Canada, which I would like to talk about today. You had mentioned that when you invited me on the show that at the time, this thing about the so-called mass graves, and I put that in air quotes for those who can't see the show and are just listening to the audio, they talked about mass graves being discovered, and you know, this big well, it just sounds, you know, it conjures all kinds of images in people's minds, of course, and they do make those false comparisons to another time in our history when bad things happened that didn't actually really happen to do with mass graves, or it didn't happen the way they said it happened. Anyway, so if you'd like, I could talk about that a little
bit today. Yes, but before we go there, Monica, and I do recognize that's a really important issue for you to be addressing, I want to invite Giuseppe's comments on these developments, these stunning developments of yesterday and this morning. It's a shame Scorpio couldn't join us, Giuseppe, because these are inspiring and tend to contradict his pessimism in general about making any progress politically. I believe this also undermines the claim that there's no difference between the Democratic and the Republican Party, which I've never bought into. But where it seems to me this is a very clear-cut point of separation, and I believe it's going to be an inspiration nationwide. The Democrats are going to go down to an historic defeat in the midterm election if we have honest elections, as turned out to have been the case in Virginia, to my astonishment. Giuseppe.
Well, Jim, I guess on the surface, I have to agree with you. I tend to think that the deep state globalists are always playing like in Star Trek multi-level chess. So my enthusiasm is tempered by the fact that Youngkin is a former CEO of the Carlyle Group, and the Carlyle Group is satanically evil, with people like Tony Blair and George Bush Jr. having been involved. And they are just so, I mean, on the surface, it's great for traditional values and parents stepping up. But, you know, I don't think Youngkin is an actual savior. I think he's just a pressure valve to take some of the steam off. So all the flotsam and jetsam fringe elements of the Communist Democrat Party that are championing these trannies and these homosexuals and these violent, low-impulse urban thugs in Antifa and Black Lives Matter, I think that you could argue that this is just taking the pressure off. I don't think anything really changes, Jim. I can't agree with you there.
Well, it's one of the great things about America. Everyone's entitled to his own opinion.
Right. There you go.
Of course, we have some good differences here, where I really appreciate how well you and Scorpio both argue for your points of view, even when we disagree.
Right.
Monica. Yeah. Monica, go ahead. Pick it up.
I love that term, pressure valve. That is so right on. And I think they do that all the time. Give us a pressure valve, release some pressure, because they can see, okay, we're getting mad and there's a lot of people waking up to the agenda. And then there's a valve, release some of the pressure. And then they carry on. I think that's excellent, Giuseppe, what you just said there about a pressure valve. Anyway, yeah, do you want me to pick it up with the
yes,
this Native Please story in Canada? So,
Please
okay,
do.
I'll give a
yeah.
little bit of background. And it, interestingly, I turned on the news this morning, the mainstream news, just to see what they're telling the masses. And indeed, this is now again front and center in the news. For a while, it went pretty quiet about the Native story. You know, they always focus on their single issues. You know, it's usually COVID, and then it's racism, and it's COVID, and then it's climate change and all these things. They just program the minds, right? So this Native story, what happened in May of this year, 2021, is there was a quote unquote discovery of mass graves in Kamloops, British Columbia. That's the province where I live, is British Columbia, the westernmost province of Canada. And what actually happened is there was some ground penetrating radar that found something irregularity, something. No follow-up was done, but some tweet was sent out. And in this tweet, what did they say? Something about, I wrote this down here. Tikamluks, like Kamloops, I'm not sure that I'm pronouncing this right, confirms bodies of 250 children buried. This tweet was sent out, and all the mainstream media around the world picked this up, and it turned into mass graves in Canada. And then it was thousands and thousands more, and they were everywhere. All these residential schools, they had mass graves. Now, what the reality of this was, there was no new discovery of anything. Some of these places were just old graveyards, like in Saskatchewan. Some elders came forward and actually said, what are you talking about? This, everybody knows about this graveset. There was nothing new here. Some of the grave markers, they were wooden and they were decrepit, and they got taken down with the expectation that the families would replace them with something, either stone or another, you know, newer wooden markers or whatever. They do over time. I mean, not all grave markers stay forever and ever and ever. If that was the case, this earth would be covered with gravestones and grave markers everywhere, right? So this one after another, it was shown that there was this base, it was based on nothing, but yet the mainstream media kept on going on about mass graves. Now, there was never a mention of anything mass grave. That implies you dig a big hole and you put a bunch of people in it, dead bodies, into a mass grave. There was no mass grave anywhere. Then some investigative journalists, Lauren Southern, I think her name is, she did some real digging about this in Kamloops, wanted to go to the source, talk about it. She got blocked every step of the way. So this is even by the native people. They did not want to talk to the journalists. It was better for them to not talk to the journalists, because obviously it would show that this story is hyped up out of absolutely nothing. And I'm not saying that the residential schools were all, you know, Sunday picnic and tea and Trump, you know, tea and cookies and whatnot. I'm going to just mute this and pick up the phone and hang it up again, or we'll, I don't know if that interferes. There's a phone going in the background here, but I'm not going to answer it, obviously.
Yeah, sure. Just take it off the hook. Take it off the hook, yeah.
Well, Jim, it's interesting what Monica's bringing up, that another globalist media fear porn. Oh, the poor native children. I mean, you know, being blown out of proportion, and typical, just like the rabbis go out and paint the swastikas at night and then blame the white racist. It's the same BS.
Yes. And there's so much phony baloney. You know, I wonder whether Youngkin could have joined the Carlyle Group merely for economic or business reasons. I'm less inclined to draw the inference that by virtue of association with the Carlyle Group, he's therefore corrupt. I'm hesitant to draw that inference, Giuseppe.
Well, I mean, I respect your resistance to it, Jim, but I don't think you get to be CEO of the Carlyle Group and not get your hands dirty.
Oh, he was CEO of the Carlyle Group?
Yeah, he was CEO, yeah.
Ah, well, that's a whole nother kettle of fish. Of course, that's too prominent a position.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I mean, I'm happy that Youngkin won, and it certainly, you know, it champions everything we believe in, but I guess it'll depend on what he does once he's actually installed as governor in January. So, but thank God that lowlife McAuliffe didn't get in there again. That would have been a nightmare for the citizens of Virginia.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Truly outrageous.
Monica's back.
Very good. Monica, pick up where you left off, please.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
Phone. I didn't even know. It might ring again, but hopefully not. But anyway.
Oh, well, see, I just take it off the hook, Monica. Just take it off the hook.
Yeah, I know. It's a different system here. Anyway, if I take it off the hook, it'll start making loud noises and stuff. So I wasn't sure how to do that, and I'm not going to take the time to figure it out right now.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so I have to just put some context around the timing of what happened here with the Native issues. And before I do that, I'm just going to say that I grew up in a household that was very, very sympathetic to the Native people. My father was a doctor in the North. He was like the Eskimo doctor. They don't call them Eskimos anymore. That's now politically incorrect. So the Inuit, and he was loved by all in the North. So Indians and Inuit and whatnot. And in our home, we were very tuned in with, you know, the Inuit people, and they came to our home and stayed lots. We have lots of their art. My father was a big collector. He bought a lot of their stone carvings and prints and whatnot. I have them in my home here. They're beautiful. So I grew up with this sort of a deep sensitivity about the Native people. So I'm not coming from a background of, you know, a lot of people, oh, they're just complained and, you know, cursed about the Indians and whatnot and a bunch of drunks on the street or whatever. So I don't come from that background. I come from a different background, being very, very tuned in and sympathetic to their plight. But what's going on now is a whole bunch of lies and manipulation to make us, again, bad whitey, us white folk feel guilty about everything that ever went wrong in this world, and dispossess us of our lands. That's the ultimate goal. So there's this piece of legislation here in Canada. It's Bill C-15, and it is all about this UNDRIP, United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, that was signed by many, many countries around the world. And without going into huge detail about it, it is basically to acknowledge the you know, Indigenous peoples around the world, that they, you know, their lands. So what the adoption of this bill, C-15 in Canada, means is that anywhere that the Natives, you know, either they possessed the land or they occupied the land, really, because their system of how they thought of the land in terms of ownership or just being on the land is different than ours. But so anywhere that they used the land or living on the land is basically now theirs, according to this bill. And I'll tell you something, at public meetings, and this has been going on for quite a few years, and when it first started happening, I didn't really understand why are they doing this, but I didn't think anything bad of it. I just thought, oh, it's just respecting the Natives who used to live here or whatever. But the public meetings get formally introduced by either the chairperson or usually a public figure, maybe the, you know, a local public, a mayor or just somebody, you know, one of these figureheads that says, we would like to acknowledge that we are on unceded territory of the, and then they say which tribe that happened to at some point in time live on that land. So by doing that, it's not just about paying lip service to the fact that some of these people lived here at some point in time. What they're doing is they're setting up a situation that in the future, when there is some kind of a land dispute and they're talking about, well, whose land is this? They will use those public statements, those public pronouncements about us being on unceded territory. And I'm talking about unceded as in it hasn't been legally passed on to us or acquired by us or whatever. It's unceded, that like the Natives still own this. That's evidence for them to use that, oh, this is not our land. So you've got all these things happening simultaneously. We find so-called mass graves, which do not exist. And none of this has been proven. And the journalists who went to investigate at Kamloops, sort of ground zero for this whole story, they were blocked at every step of the way. They were stonewalled. They could not get into it. They then flew some drones over the so-called mass grave area. And what they found is a whole bunch of new little markers that's supposed to mark something. There was never a follow-up. They never dug up into these graves to find masses of bodies. Nothing, absolutely nothing. And yet the flags have been flying at half mast now for months. And I think today, what did they do? They said something in the news about maybe they're not flying them at half mast anymore, but they will again at Remembrance Day. And then they're going to talk about the natives again. And this is coming to the forefront. Oh, and what did Justin Trudeau do just shortly ago when there was some kind of a Indigenous Day? I can't remember what the name of this day was, but some kind of a commemoration day where they were hoping he would come to their school, I think in Kamloops or whatever, and to make an official apology or whatever. But he was out at Tofino, holidaying where he loves to go at Tofino, which is a whole nother story, what goes on there. It might be more sinister than just a holiday. I don't know. It's not the topic that I'm going to talk about today, but there is that too. And so they were upset with him too. Everybody was upset with Justin Trudeau. And what else can I say just to set up the story here about this mass graves thing? The timing is not coincidental. Of course, when this came up out in May, it was also leading up to they had an election here in September. There was a federal election. So all these things came together to set a stage for, us whites, we have been very bad. And we killed the natives en masse, so they say, and put them into mass graves. None of that happened. Okay, so to say nothing ever happened at the residential schools that wasn't exactly really, they weren't always good places. But then again, if Native people did have good experiences there, if they wanted to talk about that, they got shut down immediately. So we get this picture painted for us forevermore that everything was evil, everything was bad, and that's not true either. There's lots of Aboriginal people, or whatever you want to call them. I don't want to call them First Nations because that's under dispute now too, who was actually first here, but they like to call themselves First Nations, but they call themselves Indians too, you know, like we're not allowed to use that term because it's politically incorrect, but they call themselves Indians. So the Indians, if they ever wanted to say positive experience of how they enjoyed or got a good education at the residential school, they get absolutely shut down and muzzled, basically. They're not allowed to talk about that. And so, yeah, there were some bad things that happened there, but there weren't mass graves. Yes, there was grave sites, graveyards. These were adjacent to churches. Oh, that's the other thing I want to talk about. What happened in the aftermath is all these churches got burnt down in Canada. Burnt down, vandalized, and there wasn't any protest about that. It was, that was justified. So really, again, this is an attack on our whole civilization. It's an attack on our everything, really. And so, this just was all these churches being burnt down. It was basically, they deserved it. This was all tied together with this story. So I'll let somebody else comment here and interject, and I can resume.
Giuseppe, pick it up.
Well, first, I think it's an honor to be doing these shows with bad whitey number one, Professor Jim Fetzer. And secondly, I would like to ask Monica, as a little girl, in Canada had no central bank. They ran a surplus in their budget. The people were far more sophisticated, much more European like than the ugly American stereotype down here across the border. And all of a sudden, in your lifetime, Canada has become this communist shithole that champions every type of flotsam, jetsam of society, every type of possible deviant. I mean, this is right out of the Marxist Communist Manifesto. This is right out of the protocols. What the heck happened to Canada? They willingly gave up their guns. And what in the world has gone on with Canada?
Okay, that's such a good comment. We are so communist now, and the sad thing is that most people don't even know what that is or what does that mean. But we are so far down the road of communism right now, it's indescribable. I'll tell you a little bit about my own experience and how this possibly came to be, because my experience is that it was just this utopian place. Like, it was perfect. Everything was perfect. And we were told all the time that by all the indicators, Canada was just the most favorable place on earth. And then we're also drilled, this mantra was drilled into our heads in grade school about government democracy being for the people, of the people, by the people. This was just, I mean, and then we have freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of everything. So that also set us up to trust everything that we were told is true, right? Because if you have freedom of everything, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, then and the media holds everybody accountable, holds the government accountable. That's what we were told. So then you're set up to be trusting and believe what they tell you, because you can't have total freedom of the press without having actual truth come out. So because if they're holding the government accountable or holding other officials accountable, then even if one is going to be dishonest, the other will come forward and tell you about it, right? So that's, and we by nature are very trusting. I think that is a quality that we have, the white people in general. I mean, you can make generalizations about the different races. Of course, they tell us that's not true. They tell us we're all exactly the same, and you could, it's only the skin color, and that's invisible, and color is doesn't exist and whatnot. But yeah, we have these general characteristics. Of course, you're going to have a wide variety within, but generally we are trusting by nature, and that has done us well when we are amongst our people in homogeneous societies. That helps us if we're trusting and we have high empathy as well. That's another quality that we generally have. So with that high empathy, high trust, and high IQ, you do very well. You live well in communities, you help each other, but these qualities have been used against us. So little did we know when we were growing up, and you say, yeah, as a little girl, that was during the times when we still have our own bank. We still have that Bank of Canada, by the way, which still exists. It could be resurrected and used again, but it's not being used. I think since 1974, that's when we went to the private banking system, and then since then, you know, our national debt has just skyrocketed like unbelievably. But before that, before 1974, Canada fund, wait.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Monica, please continue with your explanation.
You know, in a nutshell, we were kept fat and happy. So the people, if you're, everything is comfortable, everything is going well, you just trust that everything is going well. But in the background, we were being set up. And it, you can see it in many aspects. A friend of mine, he always talks about the old TV shows that were rolled out in the 70s, I guess, and they were starting to program us to think a certain way, and started very, very subtle, but it started to plant these seeds in our heads that, you know, us whites were kind of a bumbling, clumsy, stupid mass of people, and then starting all these mixed race messages and whatnot, and we just have to look at who owns that, who owns the mass media, who is behind all that. And actually, I wanted to bring that up with you. You know, these days, there's just more and more and more censorship. So what I notice is that people are starting to speak in code. Even, you know, really good truth tellers are starting to speak in code, like not talk directly about the Jews, for instance. And so even just saying that word seems to make people just go, uh-oh, now we're going to get censored, we're going to get booted off or whatever. And also even just talking about this poison injection that they're trying to get everybody to take, and, you know, naming it jabby or whatever, just always talking in code so that people don't get kicked off of their platforms. And actually, I kind of want to throw that question back to you on this show. Like, I like to name directly because I feel that if we go away from the name of who is doing this to us, for example, that again, they get away with hiding their identity, and we have to bring, like, we have to point them out. We have to do that in order, we have to know who's doing this to us. We have to know who our enemy is. We are in a war. There's no question that we are in a war, And most people don't even realize it. So if people don't realize we're in a war and they don't know who our enemy is, what chance do we have of actually coming out on top and winning this war? And we have to win this war, otherwise we're gone. And I do not wish to entertain that thought that, you know, they will succeed in their agenda to destroy us and to get rid of us. So what about, you know, on this show, like, I want to talk about the perpetrators, who's doing this to us.
Well, Monica, we're treading a thin line here. I have probably 100 times explained how the media is controlled by U.S. Israeli dual citizens. I've talked about having a panel of 100 executives from CNN, every one of whom is a dual U.S. Israeli citizen. A panel of 100 executives from NBC, every one of whom is a dual U.S. Israeli citizen. Another panel of 100 executives from the New York Times, every one of whom is a dual U.S. citizen. If you go all the way back to 15 April 2008, when I gave my very first political speech during a Ron Paul rally on tax day on the grass in front of the United States Capitol, I explained that we should never allow dual citizens to be in a policy shaping or decision-making position, because you cannot know that their loyalty to the other state does not outweigh their loyalty to the United States. We've also endlessly discussed what Cynthia McKinney revealed actually on Press TV, I believe 2011, the pledge that new members of Congress are asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of those of the United States, where those who decline to do so find themselves confronted with a well-financed alternative candidate, or if a census has been taking place, their district has been redrawn and they no longer have a seat. And while Cynthia was able to overcome those obstacles and serve, say, some six terms in the House, Dennis Kucinich, whom I regarded as the smartest member of Congress at the time, was not. His district was redrawn. He no longer had a seat. A friend of mine years ago, and I've also told this story innumerable times, asked me, did I know how many members of the then current Congress had not signed the pledge? And I admitted I did not. And he held up one finger of one hand, one member of Congress. So the domination of the Congress by the Israel, and I use that term rather than Jews, because there are Jews who are not Zionists, and there are Zionists who are not Jews, where we have a new report I've actually not even included in the stories yet, where Donald Trump was talking about how completely dominated Congress had been by Jews, and he was not, thereby endorsing it. This is from the anti-New York Times, and I take it to be highly reliable, which also, in my opinion, cuts against the Vafangulo Scorpio line of no difference in the parties, and everyone is trashing Trump now because of his largesse toward Israel by moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, by declaring the Golan Heights to be a part of Israel, by defunding the U.N. agency that assists the Palestinian refugees, even redefining anti-Semitism to include criticism of the actions of the government of Israel, which is obviously free speech politically, should not be in any way, shape, or form identified with anti-Semitism. But the problem is, when you have this total domination of the media, and look, this extends to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. I mean, I've had 100 videos taken off of YouTube. I had my Twitter account obliterated overnight. I hadn't been on there long. I had 2,500 tweets and 2,500 followers, and one day it's there, the next day it's not. No notice whatsoever. I've had to move my videos onto BitChute, which is a more secure, but I cannot claim that they're not also at some point going to turn. So I just say it's a fine line, Monica, here to, you know, say what you want to say without being overtly censored, because by God, they're not hesitant to do it. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Oh, I completely agree with Monica that you have to name the Jew at every possible instance, because the synagogue of Satan is the evil that controls everything right now. And Jim's point is well made, that there are plenty of decent Jews, secular Jews in the first world, who are, unfortunately, if the average person, it doesn't just mean white people, wake up and realize how we've all been played by this evil that's been a satanic malignancy on the world for, you know, 6,000 years since the time of Sumeria and Babylon. And as Eustace Mullins outlines in his brilliant book, The Curse of Canaan, that, you know, they used to be the Phoenicians, then they're the Venetians, then they're the Hidden Hand, and they're this Jew cancer that infiltrated Egypt and just brought down that empire. They infiltrated the Roman Empire. They eventually, you know, got into the Ottoman Empire and took it down. And so this is nothing new. And what's just so brazen is that now, instead of lurking in the shadows and controlling everything via Zionist usury banking and their mind rape that is communism, to think, you know, that a workers unite is just a sham, because the reality is it's the controlled opposition, which is what the synagogue of Satan always does to create this totalitarian oppressive government, which now the great tyranny is coming from the Jew-driven death jab. Who runs Pfizer? Jews. Who runs Moderna and owns Moderna? Jews. Who runs Johnson & Johnson? Jews. And who runs the CDC? Jews. Bill Gates, in his vaccine monopoly, his family are crypto Jews. It's just obscene. And so I do acknowledge Jim's point that there is a difference between Ira, who runs the Jewish deli, and Shlomo, who is the CPA, and this unbelievable malignant evil. But the sad fact is every rabbi is basically a member of the Seanim, which is they're called upon to do whatever, because the Jew is essentially a death cult. I mean, if you read the Talmud, it's sickening to read. It's a handbook on how to live and worship Satan and worship evil. And so, you know, granted, there may be decent Jews, but there should be no Jew in power in any means in any country, and yet they control everything.
I would like to respond to this notion about the street level Jews, for lack of a better term, versus the elite who are actually.
It's really the Old Testament, the Torah Jews versus the Talmudic Jews, Monica. And I don't think there's any question about the existence of the difference between them. And I would like to believe the Torah Jews are more numerous than the Talmudic, but I could be mistaken. I do not know how to quantify.
So, Jim, I'll just talk about my personal experience with this and what happened after I put the video out there. Sorry, Mom, I was wrong about the Holocaust. So I live in this little town, Jasper, of about 5,000 people, and everything is like a fairy tale town, you know, and you're going along and you're living in a fairy tale, really. It's just beautiful and everything is good. And I got lots of friends and I play music with people and I get involved in stuff and all this stuff. And then I put out that video, Sorry, Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust. Now, before that, I didn't go around wondering about people's religious background, ethnic background, racial background, whatever. I didn't even think about it. I just took people at face value, their character. If I liked them, I liked them. If I didn't, I didn't, but just didn't associate with them. But what I found out, or actually put it this way, the Jews revealed themselves to me. And these were people, some of them were people I'd known for 30 years, had been very friendly with, not my best friends, but good acquaintances, just, you know, jovial, kibbutzing around in the street. I don't know where that word comes from, but just, you know, joking around, having a good time. And all of a sudden, they revealed themselves to me and they became my most hostile enemies. And I at first I was really, really puzzled by some of these individuals. And then I started to think about, oh, I think that person is Jewish. It sort of started to come out. They revealed themselves to me. These are what you would call street level Jews, or what you were saying, maybe the Torah Jews or whatever, but they're just going along living life perfectly normal, fitting into the community like everybody else. But when push comes to shove, they will become tribal. They will stick with their tribe. They will do whatever it takes to absolutely squelch out this threat to their religion. And what is their religion? Holocaustianity. That's what their religion is, really, in this day and age. It's Holocaustianity. Because if you question it, you're a heretic. If you cannot, you're not allowed. You're not even allowed to question it, right? That's their religion. They suddenly become tribal and everything changes. Now, yeah, they were just ordinary people. Ordinary people. I never even thought about or questioned, are they Jewish or are they? It's like, and then if you ask them, that's a big affront. It's not like asking somebody, oh, are you Italian in background or are you Dutch or whatever? No. Are you a Jew? Whoa.
Yes.
You watch. You watch how people shrink back.
Well, I think you're making very good points, and I don't want to deny them, and maybe it's naive on my part. We certainly have evolutionary evidence about the use of a tribal group strategy to promote the interests of the Jews. I mean, it's distinctive in world evolution. I mean, there's no question about it, that the Jews tend to intermarry, discourage marrying outside. They tend to promote other Jews. They tend to be very fixated on promoting their own group. And this is what's known as a group strategy. Kevin McDonald, in particular, has published absolutely brilliant work on this. There's no question about it, scientifically impeccable. So that, you know, I think it's had several consequences, it turns out, that in terms of group distribution, in terms of IQ, Jews tend to score the highest among different groups, Asians second highest, and, you know, Chinese and Japanese very, very high, Americans average 100, Blacks, depending on the origin, distinctly lower, which, of course, is very contrary to the ideology of the Democrats, who believe that any difference is an achievement or accomplishment intellectually has to be as a function of discrimination or bias against Blacks, when it's none of the above. They're unwilling to grant that just as Blacks are more athletic and accomplished physically, and just look at the relative composition of NBA football, basketball teams, and NFL football teams for an illustration, but also look at, you know, as far as the non-racial character of America, look at our entertainers, look at our advertising, look at our politics. We got a whole bunch of Black politicians and leaders. Our commercials are disproportionately dominated by Blacks and minorities. I find it quite striking, especially interracial couples, which is, in my opinion, verges on the bizarre. But this also reflects the fact that the Jewish motivation, political, their agenda is to destroy the integrity of the white race and the Western civilization. Of that, I have no doubt whatsoever. And that the use of the clergy plan in Europe, bringing Africans into Western Europe and even Scandinavia, which has had devastating effects, and now using South and Central Americans to basically invade the United States, where Biden has abolished the borders, in effect, and made it virtually impossible to enforce, whereas Trump had done a masterful job of handling it. And now we have some of the governors of the state, such as Abbott in Texas, taking his own measure, brilliantly deploying these cargo shipping containers to create a transient wall that is impenetrable. I think it was a master stroke, in that if Trump had had the idea before him, he might well have adopted it, because you can put these up for a tiny fraction of the cost of building a wall, and you cannot penetrate them. I mean, you know, well, I suppose they can try to put up ladders and all that. But the point is that Biden has completely abolished maintaining the integrity of the United States geographically in terms of borders, flooding with immigrants. They know the migrants reproduce at a more rapid rate than the whites. And of course, part of the COVID is to destroy our fecundity, our ability to reproduce. So there are an awful lot of issues that are mixed up here together that make a really teeming cauldron of that is very grotesque and very nasty stuff. And let's take Giuseppe first and then come back to Monica. Giuseppe.
Well, first, I want to salute Monica. Holocaustianity is an absolute brilliant label on what is going on because, you know, Winston Churchill in his 6-volume phone book level coverage of World War II never once mentioned the Holocaust. You can do a Google search about word usage historically, and there was no mass media usage of the word Holocaust until the mid-60s, and then it just skyrocketed. The brave Jew Norman Finkelstein, the PhD at the University of Illinois, came out and wrote a book about it, Holocaust Incorporated. And so it's ridiculous. But what I'd like to ask both of your thoughts are, is this is a proven strategy. Now we have Holocaustianity and we have another pseudo-religious cult now, which is quaxination. You know, you can't look at actual data and facts, much the way Jim and Nicholas Kallstrom and Rudolph and so many others, Jim Rizzoli, Diane King, the League of Extraordinary Revisionists, Fred Leckler, have all come out, and it's indisputable that the Holocaust didn't happen. The facts are it was a labor camp, and you can go into the what drove the German people to take such draconian measures against the Romani, which is the gypsy, the Jew, and the Catholic, Polish Catholic. And what's so offensive to me about these lies of the Jew and the Holocaustianity is that hardly any Jews died in the labor camps. Far more Romani, far more Catholics died than Jews. And it's just, but you know what? It all goes out the window with these pseudo-religious cults. It's just insane. I mean, I cannot figure it out. Your thoughts?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, where to begin there? We could talk about some of the evidence about the so-called Holocaust and the mountains of evidence that speak against their story. And truly, it is astonishing that this story still exists. But how do they make it? How do they keep it? They make the evidence illegal in the courts. They criminalize the evidence itself. I mean, I experienced that firsthand. This is not just guesswork. So when we brought evidence, and Sylvia Stolz experienced this, she went to jail for doing her job too well as a defense attorney, as Ernst Sandl's lawyer. She actually spent 3 years, 4 months in jail simply for bringing evidence into the court in Germany. And the judge said, no, you got to stop. That's illegal. You can't bring that evidence. She explained why it's her duty and obligation and responsibility to bring evidence. And we're just talking about, you know, scientific evidence, documentary evidence, or just evidence. But this was illegal. And they ended up carrying her out physically out of the courtroom. This is a lawyer, a woman. They just carried her out, and then, you know, she ended up in her own trial and ended up in jail, and then came out of jail, talked about it, and ended up in jail again, to make a long story short, just for talking about it. So this is how they keep their story going. The truth does not fear investigation. I mean, that's just sort of a given. If their story was true, they would want us to present the evidence and show how it happened and whatnot, but this is so illegal that they haul somebody out of the courtroom for presenting evidence. And same thing with us, with Alfred. I mean, he's spending more time. He should be out by now, even if those initial charges for, you know, his videos. And again, just to say, Alfred Schaefer, my brother, is still in jail in Germany, and he's been in jail now for over 3 years, 3 years and what is it, 4 months now?
Outrageous.
And he's supposed, yeah, he's supposed to be in jail for till next July. And even then, they still have more charges against him simply for showing how high his dog Pavlov can jump. To some people in the courtyard, he's describing a situation and he makes this gesture, a straight arm gesture, which you could call the Roman salute. And, you know, this gesture, when you look into the origins of it, it's to show that you come in friendship. You have no arms. You have an open palm. You're coming in friendship. I mean, this has been so demonized in Germany. They're so terrified of that gesture that they criminalize it to the extent that my brother Alfred is serving more time in prison just for that gesture. And anyway, so that's how they keep their story going. Their religion. You cannot question it. So evidence, yeah. I mean, just go into the specifics of that. My goodness, there's
well,
so
bear, much. Bear in mind, Monica, and we've discussed this on your previous appearances, mm-hmm. There's no doubt that the Holocaust story is a myth. There is no question about it. There may not have even been 6 million Jews in all of Europe at the time. International Committee of the Red Cross, keeping meticulous, detailed records about the sex, the nationality, the ethnicity, the religion, and cause of death of all the inmates from all the camps combined, recalibrated their numbers in 1993 with a total of 296,081 from all death camps combined had died. None of them had died from being put to death in a gas chamber. Germar Rudolph has gone and exposed how, while they were using Zyklon B to delouse the inmates because it was responsible for spreading typhus and dysentery, that was maintain their health because you can't get work out of a corpse. These were labor camps. Hundreds, even thousands of babies were born in these camps. Auschwitz had a hospital with OBGYN facilities. What sense does that make if these were centers for extermination? So, in my exactly. judgment.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Thank you. Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
That the fact it was such a narrow contest, even if the Republicans should ultimately lose, and it appears that they're finding, you know, votes for the Democrats, surprise,
right,
old style election theft. This has been a jolt. I mean, like a shock, sticking your finger into an electric socket for the Democrats. The repercussions are going to be enormous, enormous. Monica,
I want to throw a wrench into this little conversation. Here's a quote by Ezra Pound, and this is from decades ago. Democracy is just Jew speak for a country run by Jews. What do you think of that?
I concur.
Nice. Democracy, yeah. Jew speak for a country run by Jews. Yeah, that's nice. Mm. I want to mention to everyone, we are going to take your calls. The number, and Mitchell standing by, 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. And whoever jumped the gun, you're welcome to be the very first caller. So I have no problem at all with your calling in. It's just the time was not right. Monica, a few more thoughts of yours. I love that quote. That's a wonderful quote.
Yeah. And, you know, that shakes us to the core, especially if we've been drilled that mantra since we were little about democracy just being so fantastic. A government for the people, by the people, of the people. That's what we were taught. And I...
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com.
Yeah.
The People Station.
Thank you. Yeah.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Take your calls. Barb is back. Barb, join the conversation.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Fetzer, Giuseppe and Monica. I want to touch on three things. That Wilton Manors, that's down here in South Florida, where that occurred with the field trip to the bar. I certainly sent an email to our state commissioner of education about that being inappropriate. And then also, I participated in a year or two ago with FLCA.org, that's Florida Citizens Alliance, .org. And what they did, terrific job. About 30 of us, I think 30 of us participated and each took a book because we have a law against pornography in the schools. So we were looking to see, and there was plenty of it. in these textbooks, we analyzed maybe 40 books. Well, they were additional books. They weren't the regular textbooks, but the additional books. And there was a lot of pornography in it, and prepared a report and took it all up to the state legislature. And hopefully, you know, the activity will spread to other states and, you know, get a handle on this pornography. But the main reason I called in was the Holocaust. We had a principal here, Latson, L-A-T-S-O-N, a Jamaican man, very, very nice. And he was the principal of Spanish River High School, I believe it was, in Boca. And of course, Boca has a large Jewish population. And every year they have the Holocaust Day. They have to have an assembly. They do all kinds of things in remembrance. And we had a big controversy going on about the teaching of the Holocaust. I wrote letters to the editor that it shouldn't be a requirement. It should be an elective, and got some nasty responses from that. But anyway, Latson answered one of the parents that not everybody agrees about what the Holocaust was. And guess what? It ended up after several months of his getting fired. At first, they didn't fire him. The board didn't take the action to fire him. But then they took public input. They got 900 recorded calls from all around the United States. So, you know, all the Jewish people called their friends and had them call in to oppose keeping Dr. Latson as the principal there. It was so horrible. I still feel so bad for him.
Yeah, that's outrageous. You're doing due diligence. You are exercising your role as a citizen. I can't commend you enough, Barb. You're doing a wonderful job. I admire what you're doing. This is just superb. Monica, your thoughts.
I would just love to respond to this, because if you go on the truthandjusticeforgermans.com website, you will see this whole thing. I wrote a letter to this school board and all the trustees and whatnot. It went to a big, big, big email list of all the staff and whatnot in defense of this principal, this high school principal, that he should not be fired. And I gave a different side of the story. And it actually hit the National Post newspaper here in Canada, which is like a big newspaper, sort of like in the States, you know, New York Times or something. Page 5, there was an article. Of course, what they had to do then is they said, oh, proven Holocaust denier defends principal. It's actually, I would encourage listeners to go find that article and see the letter that I wrote. And it was an open letter, and it hit the news, and hit the news down in Florida as well, because I was speaking in defense of this principal. Now, one of the things that they always associate with when they call us names, and we talked about these labels a little bit earlier in this show, you know, these weaponized labels. There's always racist. They couldn't pull that one out because this is a black man. And so I was just laughing. I was just tickled by all of that whole story. I quite enjoyed it, but it did lead to the takedown of my own personal website, the Free Speech Monica website at the time. I have since put a new one up, and it's just freespeechmonica.com now, without the word WordPress. Anyway, that was quite the story about that principal. So I'm so glad you brought it up. Thanks.
Yeah, Barb, wonderful call. Me to comment before we turn to our next caller, Teppy.
Well, I think that Monica's point is spot on. I don't know if you... anybody took the time to watch the meltdown at MSNBC, the Jews and Deviants, like the little boy rug muncher Rachel Maddow, who they're claiming that the GOP Virginia win proves white ignorance is a powerful weapon. So again, ad hominem insults for the voters of Virginia. Completely flipping this state. They've taken over the House And what I hope, if this is legit, Jim, again, instead of just releasing a little steam on the pressure valve, I'd like to see Robert E. Lee's statue put back up in Virginia and put the names of these great historical figures from the Confederacy in this Commonwealth back instead of the communist rewriting of history. So, you know, so we'll see, right?
Giuseppe, I think there's a good chance that's going to happen. I mean, this was part of the reconciliation of the North and the South following the Civil War.
Right.
To recognize the leaders on both sides as having been honorable men, great Americans, say, who simply had a political difference, but we respect them nevertheless. This was part of our reintegration as a nation.
Right.
And those who have been taking it down, of course, don't want that. They're seeking to divide us in every possible way.
Yep.
We have a second caller from the 707 area code. Caller, please just give us your first name, state, and join the conversation.
Hey, Jim, it's Tom from Idaho now. I love these shows. One of the things I love about them is that it gives us a chance to get in touch with people who I've respected for a long time. And Monica, you're right there. I think that you're a total hero, someone who's completely acted in accordance with your conscience and, you know, taking some slaps on the wrist over this whole thing, way more than that. I think it's amazing that you and your brother Alfred have basically come from the same awake line of genetics here have like this incredible courage that you guys have shown. I'm really, really appreciate that. You know, there's a couple things I was thinking about. One is that, you know, what happened to you and Alfred is just totally outrageous and a crime. I mean, and it's because, there's this tremendous hypocrisy that you hear where you have the globalist actors who are always trying to push the UN agendas on us. And yet you'll have things that you also hear about in other contexts where there's this freedom of expression that's guaranteed in, it's like called something like the Universal UN's, I think it's the Universal Declaration on Human Rights or something like that. You hear about this all the time. But those freedoms are guaranteed unless the Jews object, in which case you go to jail. And I mean, that's essentially what you've seen with Monica. So that's one thing. And then another is that I keep hearing, if you tune into the mainstream, it's like you can tune in for 5 minutes and basically 90% of what you're going to hear about relates to COVID, climate change, GMOs are good for you, 5G is getting rolled out. Oh yeah, there's some dietary advice. And then like for some reason, like 75 years later, it's like the Holocaust never goes away. That seems to show up like pretty frequently. But the funny thing is like every one of these things, you're supposed to like quote, believe the science. But if you're even a little bit honest and you, start looking in these things to yourself, like basically you'll discover that the mainstream narratives of all these things are just total crock. And, you know, what I feel like is that they're trying to create a monoculture. And they want like a mental monoculture on every one of these topics where everybody is supposed to think the same things and they're afraid to speak out on anything else. But my sense, having, you know, grown up in a family of farmers and stuff like that, is that nature hates monocultures, right? Basically, the media has to beat the drum because as soon as the farmers stop going out into the fields and cultivating and spraying and weeding and all this kind of stuff, basically the fields are going to return to wetlands and wildflowers. And I think, you know, Monica, you are like you're like one of these people who's out there, like, planting the seeds of the return to sanity, like the wildflowers will sprout again because of people like you.
Oh, well, thanks so much for your kind thoughts and words. And I just want to say that to people out there, this is so important. The truth will set you free, but speaking it out really sets you free. Like just when I did these things, I mean, I didn't have a crystal ball. I didn't know what was going to happen. Not to the full extent, but I did know that I was going through a one-way door never to go back. When I put that video out, I did have that sense inside. Now I'm glad I didn't have a crystal ball, because if somebody had told me all the things that would happen to me, without knowing the emotional and mental state that goes along with all the things that actually physically happen, then you don't know how you're going to feel about it. And it looks pretty scary, but it wasn't scary. Like, yeah, there were times that was very, very difficult, but it just, when I was in jail, I said this in letters, and I felt it 100% after the first initial period. The initial period was hard, but after a while, I said, look, I am 1,000 times more free than the jail boss. And I really felt that. I felt that. And I felt happy and free because really, okay, they had the key. They had me physically, but they didn't have anything else. They didn't have my mind. They didn't have my heart. They didn't have my spirit, my soul, all those things. And I think sometimes people wondered, how can you be so happy while you're in jail? Because I was a joyful person, and other prisoners saw that, and it had an effect on them too. I know that. Anyway, so it's not like you want to go there, but when I was there, it's like I didn't have the keys. I didn't have control over the keys, but I did feel free. That's all I can say.
Well, you're a sensational human being, Monica. One of the reasons we so admire, even adore you. Is there a further thought you'd like to add?
Oh, I just, you know, I appreciate what Monica's saying there. I think that's very interesting. You know, guess what? It's I just call it like the Janis Joplin protocol, which is saying, you know, freedom really is when you have nothing left to lose. And there's, you know, I've had that experience in my own life, not in the extreme way that Monica's described, you know, like where literally you're incarcerated for a period of time. But I can understand how there can literally be, you know, I've corresponded with quite a number of people in prison over the years, just because I think there's some extremely interesting people who end up in prison. That's a simple way of putting it. And I mean, for the intellect, for the person who's there because they have done something in accordance with what they believe, it wasn't just a crime of, you know, I'm out. They're not in prison because they stole something or killed somebody just willy-nilly. If they were there because they did it out of like an intellectual conviction, it's a very different experience from people who were there just because they did something petty or, you know, stole some money from, you know, a bank or something like that.
Well, this has been an excellent call. Coincidentally, I received a letter from a prisoner just a few days ago to which I plan to reply today and find out whether I can send him a book, for example. It's great to have things to read when you're incarcerated. This has been an excellent call. I thank you very much. We have standing by Scott from San Diego. Scott, join the conversation.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I just want to thank Monica for sharing her time with us to help try to spread some great reason in the world. You know, I think the people are taking going about this critical race theory thing the wrong way by trying to ban it and get rid of it. I don't think we should ban any ideas, you know, no matter how stupid they are.
Look, but remember, Scott, they're talking about it being taught in the school as though it were true, coming from a source regarded as authoritative. They don't care if somebody wants to believe crackpot ideas. I agree right. with should be no censorship, but in the public schools, this is a question of the curriculum. You're talking about an audience that does not have the right to decline to hear or participate. Their participation, they are not with consent. I mean, the children in our public schools are the recipients of what's being taught. That's what's objectionable. We're not trying
right.
to.
Right. I get that. I agree with you. I agree with you. What I'm saying is that we who oppose it. A lot of people are they're going about it the wrong way by trying to ban it and demonize it. What they need to do is try to get it out in the open and expose it. You know, okay, show us, teach us this thing. Let's talk about it and show us what you're teaching. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's disinfectant. You know what I'm saying?
That's all good.
That's what I meant.
Giuseppe.
I think that Scott's point is valid, that if you shine the light of truth and forensic evidence on the Jew deception that is critical race theory, I think that it would wake people up. But I vehemently disagree that it should also be immediately censored and banned, because you're not going to get a fair and just hearing from the communist, who the Soros bought off communists on the school boards, in local and regional governments. So until you can wake up enough people, it absolutely should be censored and banned. There is not a valid public forum to discuss this stuff anymore.
Oh, yeah, but in principle, look, this is one of the features that distinguishes a democracy from a totalitarian regime. We entertain all ideas and they're subject to public debate. As Sir Karl Popper emphasized, critical debate is and analysis is the key to the discovery of truth. We want to let 1,000 flowers bloom. You just don't turn them all into a bouquet and take them home for your wife.
Well, absolutely.
Since we had this event in Virginia, and Mitchell is right there on the scene, I want to bring him in to give us some of his reflection about what we've just been living through. Mitchell, please join the conversation.
Hey, hello, Jim. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mitch.
Well, what I would say is that overreach, you know, by Democrats here in Virginia, you know, have caused a general pushback. You know, people are tired of the liberal lunacy being shoved down their throats. And of course the possible assault weapons ban, the critical race theory, the transgender issues. Democrats were in hot water ever since they, wanted to restrict guns, and it's just proof in the pudding that people want to be free, and government has a problem restricting them or getting their compliance to be restricted, maybe. But it's a revolution. It's a pushback, and Democrats are kind of wondering where they went wrong. And if they can't see where they went wrong, they're just blind.
They have no self-concept. They live in a bubble. They believe their own propaganda. I mean, it's just disgusting beyond belief. This was not just pushback. This was a repudiation of the whole woke agenda. And believe me, it's going to have vast ramifications, consequences across the nation. Giuseppe, your thoughts. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think Mitchell makes a great point. I think that I had lunch yesterday with a dear friend of mine, 30-year friend, like a brother, and one of his coworkers is, we've been saying for months, the mama bears need to wake up, and this woman is in Loudoun County, and she's been regularly now on Fox News and Fox Business News, and she's been interviewed, and I'm going to try and use she's friends with my dear friend to try and get her on our shows. But this is what we need. You know, she is exposing the vile degeneracy of critical race theory and of everything, you know, championing homosexual fellatio training in schools with these books and all that. It's outrageous. And it's all part of the Communist Manifesto, and Mitchell is being kind, saying liberals, they are communists. This is a complete Jew attack on the American way of life.
Monica, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the mama bear analogy, and I'll tie that in with Alfred. He always has sort of a current theme in his letters and memes that he makes and thinks of, and Mama Bear was prominent there. And this ties in with what they're doing to the children, because when that's where the rubber hits the road, or whatever the expression is, when people see that their children are being attacked or poisoned or somehow threatened, that's where Mama Bear comes out. And look out, this is where we're at right now with all the, you know, this poisonous agenda. I'm talking about the mental poisons of the minds in the schools, in addition, of course, to the actual physical poisons they're foisting on us all right now with this COVID scam. But, you know, we're talking about the children in schools. And that's where Mama Bear comes out, and that's where we're at right now. So that's kind of my comment. And I just wanted to tie in Alfred to that, to remind people that Alfred still is in prison in Germany. And letters are always appreciated. I know that for me, that was my lifeline. And I know that is so for Alfred. Today is exactly 11 months since he's been in solitary confinement. He was put into solitary confinement on December 3rd, 2020, and is still in solitary confinement for his defiance of the mask. Imagine if you want to breathe freely, literally, you know, he's been put into solitary confinement for his mask defiance. So I just wanted to tie that in. And yeah.
Speaking of Germany, Mitchell's put up his Zero Hedges reporting that German companies are imposing a new form of segregation. We used to have black and white restrooms, for example. They're going to have black and white canteens for the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. Mitchell, I have a question for you. You've seen a lot of Youngkin up close and personal with a massive advertising and events in Virginia. Do you think he's an honest broker? Steppy and others raise the fact that he's now stepping down, but as a CEO of the Carlyle Group, or do you think he's just a camouflage deep state?
No, he's another political tool. You know, do you have a left-right march into this fascist world that they're trying to put us in, indoctrinate us in? You know, what the left can't get done, the right convinces the other side to go along with, and there's a minority in the middle that just says, give me more government.
I don't know, Mitch, I'm telling you, I think this is a form of emancipation. I think what Youngkin has done here in Virginia is going to be an inspiration across the nation. I think it's a pivotal point in American history, recent history, regarding woke culture and all this absurd stuff coming from the Democrats. I think its fate is sealed. I see this as the beginning of the end for the Democrats' woke agenda. That's how I take it. And even if he did this for the wrong reason, you can do the right thing for the wrong reason. What he has done is going to have enduring consequences, even if the man himself is corrupt, which I frankly am not convinced to be the case, but that he served as CEO of Carlyle Group certainly gives me pause.
Mm-hmm. Can I pose one observation?
Do you want to add a further?
Hello?
Who we got?
That was Tom would like to interject.
No, this is Scott.
Yeah, Tom, go ahead.
No, this is Scott.
Or Scott, anyway. Go ahead.
Scott, yeah, go ahead, Scott.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if the absence of protests in Virginia is any indication that possibly, you know, this could be another Trumpized election.
What do you mean by that?
You know, like there was an absence of protests, counter protests during the January 6th. You notice there wasn't very many Antifa or Black Lives Matter out there. They weren't getting a lot of pushback during that.
They were at the Capitol, Scott. They were dressed as Trump supporters.
Right, they were.
James, the brother of John.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's why they weren't in the streets. That's what I'm saying.
226 Antifa members dressed as Trump supporters into the Capitol.
John. It was all a scam. It was all a bad false flag.
Yeah, I don't see this election. Yep. Virginia is a scam at all. I'm very heartened by it. Monica, we're almost to the end. I'd like you to add a couple more words.
Oh, I find this very, very interesting because I'm not really up on the things that have been going on there with this election, but I'm just really
well understood. By the way, convey our warm regards and support to
Revolution Radio.
Radio.
socialist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.